Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now. And if the elevator tries to break you down, go crazy, punch a higher floor.
I am a pediatrician trained in pediatric endocrinology. I have been providing gender-affirming care to transgender youth for more than 10 years in Texas. I have also published scientific research that shows that gender-affirming care improves the psychological well-being of transgender youth. I am here today to be the voice of my patients and their parents, because in Texas and in other states where bills banning gender-affirming care are being passed, the lives and future of transgender youth are at risk.
So this was at the Senate hearing last week on LGBT issue. I think it was a Judiciary Committee hearing. And given that it was Dick Durbin and Lindsey Graham kind of leading the charge on both sides, that makes sense to me. But this is Dr. Ximena Lopez, as you heard her say, a pediatric endocrinologist who works on in this area particularly, and working with, you know, people with gender dysphoria and giving them what she considers to be good medical care for them in order to affirm their gender identity. These are all things that, you know, I'm not on board with, I'm not in agreement with, but I am a big believer in listen to people who disagree with you. Huge believer. And you've got, if you can only maintain a view that you have that is at odds with what somebody else believes by avoiding listening to them, that's not a good indicator. Like, that's not a good sign, right? If you can only listen to the views expressed by people you agree with, you might want to consider how strong those views really are, if they have to be constantly reinforced. Now, there is a truth also that if all you ever do is consume the views of things you disagree with, that can be dangerous too. But at least be willing to listen. You know, always be willing to listen. That's why, like, when Harley Walker, who was another affiant, I suppose, testimony giver at the Senate hearing, who is a young transgender, born a man, becomes a girl, talking about her experiences. Listen, you know, just listen and take them seriously.
I want all of you to look at me here now and hear my words. I am a very happy 16-year-old girl. I have wonderful friends who accept me for who I fully am, and I am active in my school's debate team and other curricular activities. I love to travel. I enjoy concerts and music like Taylor Swift and listening to my record collection in my room. I get all A's in school and I am looking forward to college. I am not miserable in my life. I am not depressed. I'm just trying to be a teenager in America.
Now, is Harley representative of all transgender children? I don't think so. But is she an example? You know, I mean, yeah. And, you know, she seems articulate, smart, relatively well-adjusted by all the indicators you could tell. Now, could she be lying? I mean, you know, theoretically anybody could be lying, but I take Harley at her word and I listen because I want to. Now, it doesn't persuade me, okay, to change my view, but you ought to consider it. You know, ought to consider it. That's kind of generally my approach to these things. Dick Durbin, who is a senator from Illinois, a long-serving senator from Illinois, a senator with whom I almost never agree, and I didn't agree with him during this hearing.
It is interesting to me that you cannot put a nominee for the Supreme Court of the United States at that table, and they all sit there, without that person expecting a question as to whether or not they're going to be influenced by foreign laws. Will you look at laws in other countries, or are you going to stick with America? And the answer they're waiting for is, I stick with America. And now we have references to Europe as the standard bearer in terms of where America should go for its future.
What he's getting at there is the argument made by Lindsey Graham, made by Matt Sharp from the Alliance Defending Freedom, the organization that is advocating for many of the laws that have been passed, like here in the state of Florida, Alabama, Texas. Basically, they're saying that in Europe, where they've been ahead of us on this, where they have been doing this for decades already, and now they're backing off. They're not prohibiting it yet, but they're no longer recommending it, and they're basically saying that the evidence isn't conclusive that this is beneficial to transition children or to give them hormone therapy. And so folks like Matt and like Lindsey Graham are saying, hey, pay attention to that example, and maybe we shouldn't be running straight into following the pattern that they're now backing off. And Dick Durbin says, the last time I checked, most of y'all Republicans were kind of against listening to Europe for anything because you believe that America is special. And there's a sense in which he's right. Okay, there is a kind of contradiction there between what Republicans have often said and what they're saying today. And there's a sense in which he's wrong, because we're not talking about the concept of law or the foundation of rights or something like that. We're instead talking about what does the science say or what does the evidence say? You know, what are we learning? What can be learned from the experience of others as opposed to a purely philosophical proposition?
I love Europe. I love the Europeans, but we're Americans. And when it comes to the decisions as basic as the rights of our individual citizens and freedoms, I think we've got a pretty good starting point with the Constitution and Bill of Rights.
This gives me conniptions to hear him talk like that, because it's exactly the opposite of what he would normally be saying. But, you know, hey, take your moment in the sun, young man. Not young at all. 7:15 here on News Radio 92.3. A lot more from this hearing. We've been talking about this all morning, and so I think what I'm probably going to do is compile the segments together into one, you know, if you want to kind of hear everything I've had to say about this today, because it's a very interesting hearing. And one of the things I tell you is when you listen to people who disagree with you and with people who agree with you, unless you're going to discount what's being said, it forces you to really think through what you believe and why you believe it. And is it right? And am I accommodating all the evidence that's known to me or not? And that's something you should always be doing. Now, I haven't changed my view, in case some of you are like, Andrew, you sound like it. No. But if you can't consider all the evidence honestly, fairly, even charitably, then your own position is weak. And I don't like to hold weak positions. I like to hold strong positions. Not because I hold them vehemently, but because they are strong, right? Not because I'm shouting about it, but because the logic and the evidence is actually there to support the view I'm holding. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Showing an accident on the west side. It is Highway 98 and Sea Pine Circle. Not showing a roadblock, though. Use caution there. Certainly caution wherever you are. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, you can text them in. Again, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to the conversation being had at the Senate last week. Now, Harley Walker, that's the young transgender girl that I was talking about. She played her clip earlier. Sometimes people will say a thing that they think favors their view, but maybe gives evidence in the other direction, right? Because maybe they're not interpreting even their own comments in the strongest or the most appropriate possible way. Here's what she said.
Whenever I was about 11 years old, I was doing research on the LGBTQ community, and I came across the term transgender. And growing up as a kid, I always knew that I was different. And so I came to my parents with saying that I think I am transgender.
See, this is a fascinating observation by her, because on the one, and I think anybody, wherever they are on this issue, would have to say very neutrally that coming across the idea of being transgender in research, in a book, and that term psychologically facilitated her embracing the idea of transitioning. It permitted her to entertain that in a whole new way because, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know that was possible. Here's where it's interesting, because that's the argument that pro-trans people will say is why we should have books about transgender things and why we should have exposure to these things, because children who are this way will therefore learn and see what's possible to them and have themselves affirmed. Same exact argument made by critics who will say, yeah, that's the problem. Taking somebody like this and exposing her to information, books, and resources that give her ideas and permission and concepts and language that she didn't have before is exactly enabling of something that's a mistake. It's empowering of a problem. You're exposing somebody to something that they shouldn't be exposed to because they're impressionable and they're vulnerable. And there's a reason why we have taboos, and there's a reason why we have it. It's sort of like, you know, if you had the argument that, you know, has been made historically about, I don't know, shows about adultery or shows about, you know, bigamy, like we've had the, you know, the polygamy kind of shows recently. You say, well, that's not great for somebody who's having trouble in their marriage to be exposed to, because it empowers and it conceptualizes. You know, like, that's the whole point, is it good or is it bad? Well, it depends if the thing itself is good or bad. And so, interestingly, that observation, I think, it helps out both narratives, just depending on how you want to hear it.
It's definitely been hard for me. Like I said in my testimony, I was severely bullied in middle school to the point where I had to drop out of public school because there was so much hate every day in the hallways, being misgendered, being deadnamed. And it got to physical violence at a certain point. And so I had to drop out of public school for that year, and the school wasn't doing anything about it.
So It's awful to imagine. First of all, the pain, psychological pain that people suffer who have to feel alienated from their bodies. Be honest about that. I think everybody should be honest about that. Even if you think it's misguided, or even if you think it's some kind of a mental disorder, the pain is real, even if the disorder is a problem, right? Okay. And also, you know, being bullied. Being bullied is never good. But when she says being bullied, and when she talks about adverse treatment, and when she talks about violence, part of that is when people use these terms, I'm never sure whether what they mean was, I was really seriously harassed, I was really physically endangered, or whether what they mean was, well, somebody called me by the wrong pronoun, or somebody called me by the wrong name. You notice how she treats being misgendered and being deadnamed as if they are in the same category as being physically assaulted or being, you know, having their safety threatened. You know, because what people will say is, I feel unsafe in an environment where people don't use the right pronoun. Well, that's not genuine unsafety. That's just people disagreeing with what you would like them to say. Those are two very different things. And so I think you undermine your credibility for making claims about bullying and violence when you use language violations in the same category as these other things. 437-1620. I'll leave you with this one only because it was one of the more fascinating ones toward the end. Was Kelly Robinson. She's the one who engaged with Senator Kennedy. And we talked about this last week when she engaged with him over the question of, you know, are women athletes better than male athletes or whatever. And there were two interactions between her and senators I thought were fascinating. Here's the first one with Ted Cruz.
Ms. Robinson, do you agree with Ms. Gaines that there's a difference between women and men?
That's Riley Gaines, the swimmer who had to compete against Leah Thomas.
If the question is about trans women...
I'm just asking, is there a difference between women and men?
What I can say is that the NCAA has rules in place. They've had rules in place for the last decade, and when this competition
happened... Okay, I'm going to try again.
The rules were clear.
Do you believe there's a difference between women and men? It's a yes-no question. Do you believe there's a difference?
Oh, I think that we're talking about this case with the NCAA.
No, I'm asking a question. Do you believe there's a difference between women and men? Most people could answer this very simply. I'm curious if you're willing to do so.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just putting it into the context of the conversation that we're having. I think that there are definitions related to sex.
Is that a yes? So I'm trying to get a yes or no. I'm not trying to get a speech.
Yeah, and she won't do it. She just won't do it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But she won't actually say it. See, that undermines your credibility. If you can't acknowledge something so basic as that. Right. And this kind of came up later with John Kennedy, who was, I think, actually doing a sincere job of trying to understand her position on gender.
And how many genders are there?
I think the gender is expansive and the definitions are always growing. Today, I can tell you,
more
I talk
than
to young
five?
People
more
that than, talk about non-binary as
more than five.
I think the gender is not a binary is what I'm trying
but
to
is,
say.
Are there more than five genders? I'm just trying to understand. Are there more than five genders?
Well, I mean, I think that there was a time where women wearing pants didn't feel like it was appropriate for their gender, and yet I'm wearing pants today. I think that there are ways that we express our gender that are expansive.
Are there more than five?
I wouldn't subject myself to naming how many genders there are, but what I can say is that gender is a reflection.
Number?
Excuse me?
There's an infinite number of genders?
I think depending on your culture, there are a lot of different genders that exist.
See, you start to sound like gender as a concept has no meaning whatsoever. But when you are unwilling to answer what I think are fair questions, well, how many? I mean, is it more than five? Is it more than 100? Is it a million? How many genders are there? And what does gender actually mean if it has no meaning at all, which is what infinite genders would kind of. Anyway, just, you know, some interesting observations from that. I have a lot more to say about this, but, you know, only so much time I'm willing to devote to this one subject in any given show. 723 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
This Blue Angels history is presented by the National Naval Aviation Museum.
Since 1946, the Blue Angels had been known as the Navy Flight Demonstration Team. But in December of 1973, an organizational change was made, and the Blue Angels were commissioned as the Navy Flight Demonstration Squadron. And while that may seem to be just a matter of semantics, its structure within the Navy is significant, under the command of the CO of NAS Pensacola. As a squadron, they would also have more support personnel assigned to them. Additionally, with the classification as a squadron, the maintenance crew's total responsibility was to maintain the Blue Angels planes. Under a team classification, the maintenance personnel could have been pulled at any time to other duties, which could have adversely affected the readiness of the team. As a squadron, they would have more authority and control over their activities. And the first commanding officer of the new squadron was Commander Tony Less. Another change made at the same time was the transition into new aircraft. While the F-4 Phantom was a spectacular jet, it was very expensive to maintain and fly. Its two engines guzzled fuel, and that was not a good trait in the midst of the 1973 energy crisis. So the Blue Angels switched to a slightly smaller single-engine aircraft, the McDonnell Douglas A-4 Skyhawk II. Though smaller than the Phantom, the impressive maneuverability, rate of climb, and shorter turning radius proved to be exceptional qualities for their role as demonstration aircraft. These A-4s also required far less maintenance than the Phantoms, which allowed the Blue Angels officers and crew to spend more time helping young people interested in careers in the Navy. Recruiting was one of the primary missions given for organizing the team into a squadron. The first public performance in the new Skyhawks was on May 18th at Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska. Among the pilots in the 1974 season was a 29-year-old captain in the Marine Corps. He flew the number 4 slot position, and his name was John Fogg. Who'd have predicted that 20 years later, he would be selected as mayor of Pensacola? I'll be back with more after this.
Hi, this is Rear Admiral Kyle Kozad, President and CEO of the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. You are cleared for takeoff at the National Naval Aviation Museum. Before you embark on a day filled with family, friendly fun, and inspirational experiences, don't forget your pre-flight checklist. Flight simulators, 150 beautifully restored aircraft, a virtual flight deck, giant screen theater, world-class guides with service experience, gripping history, and rip-roaring out-of-this-world fun await you at the newly reopened National Naval Aviation Museum.
The Blue Angels are known for their breathtaking aerial performances, not for saving lives. But that's just what they did. Find out how in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
A place to stay informed about what's happening locally and find a deep sense of belonging and community. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, gnarly!
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Let's go straight to Candy with traffic on the fives.
As we take a look at our roads, we're watching one accident. This is on the west side. Doesn't look like it's a roadblock, and it's already been cleaned up. Okay, so never mind.
I-10,
I know, there you go. There's your traffic. Schmuckla Highway, Woodbine Road, and Berry Hill Road all clear. Not showing any problems there. Detroit, Johnson, and Olive, and Cody all checking in without delays as well. If you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. Into the newsroom now. David Wayne's got our headlines. David?
16 people are recovering from injuries after an Amtrak train partially derailed in California. One passenger describes what happens.
We were just cruising along, and all of a sudden there's a big bang, and this car started teetering kind of up and down and then side to side, and I was in car 11, and it kind of fell off the tracks to the left.
The train hit a work truck that was parked on the tracks at a railroad crossing that belonged to a county public works agency there. The driver of that truck suffered critical but not life-threatening injuries. Madonna's recovering after reportedly being rushed to a New York City hospital. The New York Post's page reporting she was found unresponsive Saturday, taken to the ICU. She's now recovering in a regular ward of the hospital. And the most famous jacket worn by Michael Jordan is sold, Andrew.
Oh.
Unfortunately, well, maybe you were the winning bidder. I don't know. It sold for $1.5 million.
Not it.
That was the winning bid. It was up for auction at Sotheby's in New York City. It was the Dream Team jacket from 1992 that he wore when he received the gold medal at the Barcelona Olympics.
Okay. You know what didn't sell at auction? Princess Leia's dress from the award ceremony scene in the throne room at the very end, the white dress that she wears.
Where she puts the medals on Chewbacca.
That's right. That's right. And where she's got the gold necklace and everything else. Didn't sell $1 million was the minimum bid, and it didn't get there. And then they were thinking it might sell for $2 million. So that kind of surprises me that nobody bought that at that kind of level. It seems
that is
a bunch of Star Wars us nerds. I'm not.
Oh, and by the way, you know what? I don't think I have time to get to this, but
good.
Well, yeah, I'll get to it later. I'm just teasing you. I'll get to it later. We're just totally out of time in this segment, unfortunately, because I do have something to say about the street sweeper names, which we found out about yesterday. Governor DeSantis says that he wants to eliminate the Department of Commerce, the Department of Education, the Department of Energy. That's the one that, remember, Perry couldn't remember that, but oops, back in the debate. But also the IRS, he's now added to the list. He wants to get rid of the IRS, which is an interesting proposal. I'm curious what he wants to replace it with or how he wants tax revenue collections to be overseen.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The president's son, Hunter Biden, is deposed in Delaware today for a lawsuit brought by a repair shop owner who worked on Biden's computer.
John Paul McIsaac is seeking $1.5 million, claiming Hunter Biden damaged his reputation by lying about whether that laptop actually belonged to him. McIsaac reported the contents to the FBI when he uncovered damning photos along with messages that raised suspicions of influence peddling involving, allegedly, Joe Biden.
Fox's Brooke Singman. Donald Trump grows his Republican presidential primary lead in the latest Fox poll. And New York Yankees pitcher Domingo Germán throws the 24th perfect game in Major League Baseball history.
Grounded to third. Donaldson has it. There it is. Perfection for Domingo Germán.
Call on Yes Network. The Yankees beat the Oakland A's 11-0 with not a single A reaching base. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne at 79 right now. Sunshine and very hot already today. We'll get more on your weather with Channel 3 in just a couple of minutes. There's several agencies that are now investigating an officer-involved shooting that happened yesterday in Cantonment. PPD's Mike Wood tells us that it happened at a home on Durant Lane. That's just off of Highway 97. Pensacola police officer went to that home to investigate a hit-and-run crash that had happened earlier.
He was met in the front of a house by a male individual. Words were exchanged, a fight began, and then shots were fired by the officer at the suspect. The suspect was struck and killed by the gunfire, and the officer received minor injuries during the scuffle.
And the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and FDLE both helping out in that investigation. Public safety leaders say that all of this excessive heat really isn't helping when it comes to keeping tourists safe in the Gulf of Mexico. After Tuesday's death of an NFL quarterback, former NFL quarterback, I should say, Ryan Mallett and Destin, the string of recent deaths stretching from Fort Morgan, Alabama to Panama City Beach has now drawn national attention.
I would say it's actually getting progressively worse. We've got a lot more people coming to our area. We're advertising it as they're really stressing the beauty of our local beaches. We're getting a lot more visitors. RTDC has numbers that are just out unbelievable, to be honest with you.
And that's Navarre Beach Fire Rescue Chief Danny Fury. He talked with Channel 3. He says a lot of swimmers just don't realize how much energy you lose, not only fighting the waters, but also the heat. Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office is investigating a shooting that happened yesterday in Milton, and they're saying that could possibly be a stand-your-ground case.
It happened at around 9:30 at a home on Bailey Road. The homeowner told investigators a suspicious person was on their property, and this individual proceeded to attack them. That suspicious individual was then shot, and after deputies arrived, transported to a local hospital. The sheriff's office says the homeowner has cooperated fully, and at this point, they believe stand your ground may apply. No charges are pending at this time. However, the case has been sent to the state attorney's office for a final review. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Joe. Some Florida Republicans defending a group that's been labeled by the Southern Poverty Law Center as extremist. The Southern Poverty Law Center labeled the Florida-based group Moms for Liberty as an anti-government extremist group. Senator Marco Rubio, Rick Scott, and 10 other members of Congress from Florida responded yesterday in a letter to President Joe Biden. They asked him if his administration agrees with the designation and if the White House is using the Southern Poverty Law Center to assist in the Justice Department's targeting of parents. And baby talk, right? Humans do it all the time. Apparently, dolphins do, too.
Tell me about it.
That's human baby talk. Those are dolphins. Researchers say dolphin mamas use a special voice with offspring just like human mothers. This is the world's longest-running study of wild dolphins. 3 decades so far. It comes out of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Florida. When dolphins call their young, It's higher pitched, more gentle, more sing-songy and musical. The zoologists call the communication style motherese or infant-directed speech. The rest of us call it baby talk. I'm Lucinda Kay.
Well, there you go. Your scientific research for the day. 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. And Candy has your traffic on the fives.
No, I'm just kidding.
She's going to do the traffic dolphin talk.
Everything is fine. 9 Mile not showing any issues. Mobile Highway clear also through Beulah and Pensacola. And we're not showing any issues on Dog Track either. Blue Angel Parkway. Hey, if you have traffic tips, though, text them in. Just kidding. 437, I'm done. 437-1620. Text them in. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy.
Another hot and humid day today. Temperatures warming up near 96 degrees. Feeling much warmer in the triple digits. 10% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, staying warm in the 80s. Heat continues for Friday with a high near 96. Small chance of an afternoon shower. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 79 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it is 85 already. This morning, the sun shining with the heat index about 90 right now in Pensacola, 83 in Gulf Breeze, and 80 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Fed Chair Jerome Powell reiterated that more rate rises likely lie ahead for the central bank and did not rule out a boost in the cost of borrowing at a policy meeting scheduled for the end of July. Powell said future policy actions will be driven by how the economy is performing, noting the only thing we decided was not to raise interest rates at the June meeting. He added the policymakers believe there's more work to do and more rate hikes are likely to be appropriate at some time over the course of the year. The International Brotherhood of Teamsters says a nationwide UPS strike is imminent after walking away from the national bargaining table and demanding the package delivery service company to provide its best and final offer by tomorrow. UPS and the union that represents over 340,000 UPS workers have been in talks over a new contract since April, following complaints from many UPS employees over the 2018 contract and the company's working conditions. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a higher open. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Winning at life is a scriptural concept. Run that you may obtain speaks of winning. Run in such a way that you avoid being a castaway. We should run like Paul, not Demas. Paul fought a good fight, finished his course, and kept the faith, and henceforth there's laid up for him a crown of righteousness. However, Demas forsook his friend and his faith, having loved this present world. Paul was a winner, but Demas was a castaway. So what's the key to winning at life? The Bible says it's temperance, self-control. It's not asceticism, religious self-effort, but it is spirit-enabled self-control. Temperance is a fruit of the spirit. It's allowing your position in Christ to determine your pursuits. So avoid being a castaway by biblically regulating each area of your life, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, verbally. Control yourself for God's glory. Spirit-filled self-control is the key to winning at life.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
We love our military and first responders. Hi, I'm Suzanne Morgan with Service Matters Realty and Property Management, where we believe in doing more. We have a program designed specifically for military and first responders. It's called Your Service Matters. At closing, eligible buyers will receive money back based on the sale price of the home. Since 2015, we've given back over $230,000. Find out more. Go to servicematters.re.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning. 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative local. It's sunny outside, but it's hot. It's going to be terribly, awfully, brutally hot again today. We're under heat advisory, so please be careful. Please don't go out and do yard work at 2 o'clock this afternoon, okay? Just be smart in dealing with this. It's life-threatening heat, okay? Please, please, please be careful. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. And like I will say to his face, and when he's not around as well, my gold standard for PIOs, he really, really, really does his job outstandingly well. Candy's clapping in the background. Mike, welcome back. I know you love taking a compliment. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, and good morning to you, Candy. I hear you back there.
Good morning. We really do appreciate you. You are the gold standard. That's, absolutely.
Absolutely. Obviously, the kind of the big story over the last week has been what just happened yesterday, as we had this shooting in Cantonment on Durant Street, which is, you know, well up there, and kind of in a relatively affluent part of the new build kind of areas of North Escambia County. Tell us what happened here. How did a PPD officer get into something like this up in Cantonment?
Yeah, that's a big question, and I'm ready to answer that. So yesterday afternoon, there was a traffic crash, a hit and run in downtown Pensacola. The investigating officer got information on the vehicle that left the scene. And typically, and I'm not saying that's what happened in this situation, but typically that comes from a witness that may have gotten a license plate number. So the officer can run that tag and find out where that tag comes from and take his investigation from that point. So the information the officer got led him to Durant Lane in Cantonment. Now, we have an agreement with the Sheriff's Department. If we're investigating an incident in the county, that we will contact them and let them know where we're going. And most of the time, they're going to send a deputy out there with us. So that is very, very common.
And by the way, just to pause there for a second. So you have a reciprocity agreement, which is very common among agencies like yours and Escambia County. It's a good relationship between the two agencies. You can traverse into the county, certainly during an active incident, but also during an investigation. But the protocol is you let them know and they'll usually join you out there. Is that right?
Absolutely. We're not going to go out there without letting them know what we're doing.
Got it. Go ahead.
So the officer goes to the address on Durant Lane, and he's confronted by a male. Now, we don't know if this male was involved in the hit and run or not. We just know that he was confronted by a male, and words were exchanged, which turned into a fight. And the officer, during that fight, drew his weapon and fired shots. So that hit the suspect, and the suspect died on the scene. There's a lot of questions. The investigation is being done by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. The state attorney's office was also on scene, which is all protocol. So there's still questions to be answered, and we will give those answers to the public as soon as the investigation is complete. We never want to jeopardize an investigation. So let's let it run its course, and then we will be getting back with everyone with the final results.
And I understand that there may be questions I would ask that you can't answer at this point because of the ongoing investigation. But I think the most natural one that people would ask is, how does a verbal discussion become a fight, become a threat to life and limb of danger to justify using a gun as opposed to, for example, using a taser? But, you know, how does it escalate to that point that would become justification for shooting a weapon?
Well, again, we don't know exactly what happened. That's under investigation. But what I can tell you is that an officer can go from 0 to 100, from just total relaxation to firing his weapon and trying to save his life or someone else's in a half a second.
Okay.
You got to remember that we never know what's coming next. And officers have been shot while they're sitting in their cruisers at red lights and never saw it coming.
Sure.
So, yes, we do have situations to where we go in. We know it's going to be a dangerous situation. You know, that's why we call the SWAT team and things like that. But also, things can happen very quickly, and we just don't see that coming.
Just one other quick thing is, I think it blinked with my ears, but did you say that there was a deputy on scene at the time, or there was not yet an Escambia County Sheriff's Officer on scene at the time this happened?
I haven't confirmed whether a deputy was there or not. I know they got there very quickly. Once the shots were fired, but I have not confirmed whether they were on the scene yet or not.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And, you know, as with all these things, we'll get more details eventually when the investigation is done. I assume in the meantime, the PPD officer is on leave pending whatever investigation takes place internally.
Yeah, absolutely. He, first thing, he was taken to the hospital. There were some minor injuries to him, and he has been placed on administrative leave, which is protocol, until the investigation is complete.
And that's, by the way, that's another important note is, you know, officers get hurt all the time. We talk about this a bunch, but it's never not worth remembering that officers get hurt in the job. I mean, fighting isn't, you know, cost-free. And so whatever else happened, we certainly hope that the officer comes out of this okay as well. And you said it, not life-threatening injuries, so that we know that's the case. 7:45 on News Radio 92.3. We're talking to Mike Wood, the PIO for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy here with traffic on the fives.
Detroit, Johnson, and Olive not showing any delays. Fairfield not showing any problems now either. All clear from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W Street. If you have if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mike Wood, the PIO for the PPD. Sorry about the acronyms, but you know what they mean. The big success, another big success for the Manna Donut Strike, right?
Yeah, you know, 30,000 meals, and that's something that we look forward to participating in every year with other agencies. And, you know, maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but I sure would like to see when the officers are allowed to break their ban on donuts, that maybe, and I hope he doesn't get upset with me, maybe the chief of police or somebody else has to go on top of either Dunkin' or Krispy Kreme and take the first bite out of a donut from the roof to let us all know that the goal has been reached and we can now have donuts.
Yeah, to symbolically lead from above and to show us all the way forward by consuming their own donut.
I see a new promotion director for ADX Communications.
Mike, just kidding, Mike. Sure, most definitely.
That's a great idea.
That's fantastic. One of the other things I wanted to, it's just kind of, it's been a story, but you know, we don't think as much about it, but you know, the canine officers dealing with this heat, it's a big deal for them. It's a big deal for everybody dealing with the heat. But one thing that came up, I think you had made a comment about this in one of the interviews, maybe you did with Channel 3, is that it is okay with the permission of the canine officer's handler to approach the dog. I had always been under the impression, I mean, and not in the car, obviously, because that's their turf, but I had always been under the impression that just leave the dogs alone. You know, they're working dogs. Don't bother them. It's not a good idea.
Yeah, that was our canine supervisor, Sergeant James Parsons, who did the interview, and he had a good point. You know, these canines are just like people. They all have different personalities. Mm-hmm. And before anybody approaches a canine to touch it, to pet it, you know, even though the intention is good, you need to check with the handler to see if that particular dog is okay with that.
All right. Well, that was, you know, always good information. I'm always learning something in these situations. Is Deputy Chief Kevin Christman handling it okay that they didn't name any of the street sweepers, Kevin?
I don't think so. I haven't seen him in the past couple of days. So I need to get with him and check on him today. I'll do that as soon as I get in. But yeah, Kevin was a popular option. I was a Kevin fan, not because of the deputy chief, because I just thought it was a cool name. There's lots of cool Kevins out there.
Just Kevin. That's a funny alternative. All right, we always like to end with a myth or a did you know. What's your myth for us this week, Mike?
Well, we all know that House Bill 543, which is Florida's permitless constitutional carry law, goes into effect on Saturday. I believe that's July the 1st is Saturday. And the myth is that the concealed permits are going away, and that's simply not true. The Florida Department of Agriculture will continue to maintain the program and issue new permits. The permits still have benefits, including reciprocity in other states that recognize Florida's permits and the ability to purchase and take delivery of the firearm on the same day in lieu of the 3-day waiting period. So getting that permit still has its perks.
Yeah, the permits still exist. They are still valid. They are certainly useful for reciprocity in other states that don't also have permitless concealed carry. And as you say, you can walk out of the store with a gun because you've already had all the background check stuff verified if you have one of those permits. I have one, and those are some of the benefits of it. I did want to ask you, though, what sort of enforcement approach, if at all, have you guys adopted at PPD for when this change takes place on Saturday?
Well, I mean, the law is the law. We're going to go by that. There are some unanswered questions on certain circumstances that we're just going to have to get an opinion, from the state attorney and see how it goes. If there's questions, then It's better to not arrest than arrest and be in the wrong. So it's new to us, and we will deal with it as it comes. But the basic law that you can carry now without the permit is something that's cut and dry. We'll just have to see what happens from there with different situations.
My suspicion is, and I'm probably going to spend a bunch of time tomorrow talking about the details here, but my suspicion is that people are going to misunderstand what this law actually allows them to do. And there are going to be people who try to open carry, which is not legal. There are going to be people who are not allowed to concealed carry because maybe they have DUIs, or maybe they have an order of protection against them, or maybe they've had a gun charge against them in the past, or they're inebriated. You know, I was reading through the statute yesterday, and, because there's all these rules, right? For example, this doesn't allow you to carry into the meeting chamber of the city council or the county commission. That's still prohibited. And you can't be inebriated and use a firearm in the state of Florida. So you can't carry concealed when you've had inebriation charges against you, public intoxication, unless you're defending your own home, which is different. But like, these are all details that I think most people who have not had to get a permit have never bothered to read the law. And even those who have may not have read it very much. And so I think a lot of people are just going to not realize that they're still not allowed to carry, and then they're going to carry and they're going to get into trouble. Is that your suspicion too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people have to understand that you still have to produce an identification. You have to have one and produce it upon the demand of any law enforcement officer that still exists. And also, private property and business owners continue to have the right to prohibit people from carrying concealed weapons on their property. So you have to remember that, too. That doesn't give you the right to just do it wherever you want to. So you're correct on that.
Yeah, and particularly the locations that are prohibited. There's a long list of prohibited locations, like schools, like police departments and sheriff substations, like courthouses, unless you're a judge. I think people are going to run afoul of this. And bars, you know, you can take it into a restaurant, but if the primary source of revenue in an establishment is alcohol, you're not allowed to carry concealed in that establishment. And I just know. I know people, and I know people, but I think open carry is going to be the one that people are going to find out to their disadvantage that, oh, yeah, that's not legal. No, that's not legal yet. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thanks for what you do. Thanks for joining us and keeping us informed and keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
752 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. About 6 years ago, here at ADX Communications, which is, you know, News Radio, ESPN Pensacola, Cat Country, and the playlist, we started using a new employee benefits agency called Torgerson Causey. And I discovered that, you know, I didn't know what I was missing. Like, honestly, like the ability to answer questions quickly, competently, in detail, to give us options on our plans, to, you know, they help us manage all, you know, benefits and HR and payroll and all that stuff. Most of that's kind of invisible to me. But the benefits side, I mean, they have been fantastic. And like I said, gave us choices we didn't have and have been incredibly responsive and helpful and detail-oriented in their answers whenever we do have questions. So I recommend them from personal experience. And here's the thing. If you're happy with what you're doing in your business right now with, you know, HR stuff, then great. Okay, keep doing it. But if you'd like to find out whether it could be better, or whether it could be different, or there's things you don't realize you're missing out on, call Torgerson Causey. Have them come take a look. No obligation for just reviewing your stuff. 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks. Rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at playpcolaparks. It's time to get out and play.
God bless America, land that I love. Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring, located at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. From all of us at Howard Young Flooring, we would like to take this opportunity to wish you and your family a very happy and blessed Independence Day. Many of us will surround ourselves with family, cookouts, swimming, and fireworks. What a fun day. Celebrate freedom and celebrate safely. God bless.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce.
We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned athlete, Anytime Fitness on North 9th Avenue in Pensacola is your ultimate fitness destination. Are you ready to unlock your full potential and achieve your fitness goals? Anytime Fitness has the key to a healthier, happier you. With 24/7 access to state-of-the-art facilities, you can work out on your schedule. You will be guided by their certified personal trainers who will tailor a program just for you. So join now and take advantage of their special membership offers.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, okay, hotshot. We're going to see what kind of soldier you are. Reveille's all 500.
If you think you can find the passion and you're ready to take a chance, if you really believe you can make it, then the power is in your own hands. It's the moment of truth. You're giving it all, standing alone, willing to fall.
Dream of the 80s is alive, and not just in Portland. 7:56 on News Radio. I know that's the dream of the 90s, but come on, you can play with me for a second. Oh, you just want this more?
Yeah.
A montage.
My one of my best friend growing up, his older brother was the guy that they kicked out of Survivor. Like he could have been an international superstar.
I'm going to ask you this off the air. I'm a huge Survivor show.
That's not a story he loves to tell, but it was true. At least I believed it when I was a kid. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Taking a look around. Oh, so not Survivor the TV show.
No, Survivor.
Oh, Survivor the band.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's easy. I was like, he got kicked out of the show. I'm a huge reality fan. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. No delays on Burgess or Olive either. Clear right now. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yep. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Actor Kevin Spacey was in court in London yesterday. He's facing multiple allegations of sexual assault there. NBC News' Ali Azuri says the judge expects that trial to go on for about 4 weeks.
It could go on for even longer. They've selected two extra juror members in case any of the other jurors have any connection to the case while it's going on. They can be easily replaced.
And Spacey's already pled not guilty on all those charges. And New York Yankees pitcher Domingo Germán threw a perfect game, Andrew. It was against the Oakland A's yesterday. Only the 24th perfect game in MLB history. The last time one was thrown was back in 2012 by Felix Hernandez.
Yeah, King Felix. That's pretty amazing. 24, like in the entire history of Major League Baseball. I know baseball fans know, but non-baseball fans maybe, you know, it's hard to fathom something that's only happened 24 times. It's that rare. It's incredible. You got to get incredibly lucky. Like, you got to pitch well, but you got to get incredibly lucky to go, you know, no walks, no errors, no hits, no hit by pitch. Like, nothing can go wrong. And I remember, like, the Armando Galarraga game back in, I think it was 2010, when he faced 28 batters and he should have faced 27 because Jim Joyce blew the call at first base, you know, to call the runner safe when he was actually out. And we're all watching. We're like, how do you miss this call? You deprived a guy of a perfect game. He would have been, and you know, that was before review. In fact, that led to review. So amazing. Are you a baseball fan, David? I don't actually know. Are you
a little bit?
Okay. Have you ever seen anything close, like a no hitter or even anything like that?
I've seen a no hitter. I've never seen a perfect game.
No. I mean, there's so few of them. I've only ever seen a one hitter. That's the closest I've ever seen is Jaime Garcia for the Cardinals pitched a one hitter. And it was amazing to watch. You're like, he's going to, and you don't talk about it. You don't talk about it while it's happening. It's like, is this going to be? His hit was in the sixth inning, but still it's wild to watch. So congratulations.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620 News Radio.